Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we move on in our investigation to Quran chapter 12, the best of the Quran, as Allah declared in verse 3 concerning the dreams of Pharaoh. This portion of the biblical account is found in the book of Genesis chapter 41, but it is also rewritten by Muhammad or whoever helped him to make the poetry of the Quran in Quran chapter 12, beginning from verse 43. So let us first examine that which is written in the Quran, and then we will go to the Bible to see the differences between the word of God and the words of Allah. In Quran chapter 12, beginning from verse 43, we read, "And the king said, surely I see seven fat cows consumed by seven lean cows, and seven green heads of grain and others dried. O you the leaders, consult with me of my dream if you were interpreters of dreams." Now you have to understand that it looks so similar to that which we read in Genesis account, but the story of the Quran cannot be understood. Why? Because it is written without any details. Was it one dream or two dreams? You could not figure this out from the reading of the Quran. Where this took place? Was the cows in the backyard of Pharaoh's castle, or was it somewhere in the wilderness, in the woods, or where? We do not know. What about the grain? Why did Pharaoh say he saw seven green heads of grain and others dried? What is that? I mean, were they sitting next to each other in the field, or they were put together in a dish? How can you tell me that this is the actual dream? When we read the Genesis account, we see that there is more information need to be told about the Pharaoh's dream so he can come up with at least some understanding to what really is taking place. But we continue in verse 44. They said, these are the leaders whom Pharaoh was consulting about his dream. What did they say? They said, confused dream. Yes, indeed, if I heard the dream the same way Pharaoh described it, I would say the same thing, confused dream. And we do not know the interpretation of dreams. Continue in verse 45. And the one who was delivered of them. What in the world Muhammad is talking about here? The one was delivered of them. Amazingly, I believe Muhammad or those who help him to write the poetry of the Quran did not know the position of this person who was delivered of them, the two. Which two? The two who have dreams with Joseph in the prison. And obviously, as we shared before, from the reading of the Quran, we can conclude that they were two young boys, not grown up men, as we have seen in the Bible. Obviously, Muhammad here is talking about the butler. And if you do not know from the Quran that this is the man who used to give the drink to Pharaoh, then you won't see how he can fit with the story. So obviously he was there in the presence of Pharaoh, and he saw all what took place about Pharaoh's dream and how the wise men of his kingdom could not come up with the interpretation. That is how you can understand the Quran. How? By going back to Genesis account. There is no way any person, I don't care how much education you have, if you even memorize the entire Quran back and forth, you could not understand what the Quran is talking about unless you go back to the Genesis account. Anyway, back to the Quran. And the one who was delivered of them and remembered after a while Remember after a while? Remember what? Oh, remember there was a guy by the name Joseph who interpreted his dream. Continuing in the Quran, I will inform you its interpretation. So send me. And here we have to take a pause. Is this really what is written in the Bible? Did the butler go to Joseph or did Pharaoh bring Joseph to speak to him directly? Continue in verse 46. He said, Joseph, oh the truthful, consult with us of the 7 fat cows which the 7 lean consumed and of the 7 green heads of grain and others dried. Perhaps I may return to the people. Perhaps they may know. What people? If he was sent by Pharaoh, why he will not say logically so I can give the answer for Pharaoh? But obviously, as I told you, the whole entire story is made up. That's not what the Bible said. After all, the butler was not sent by Pharaoh to Joseph in the prison, but it was Joseph who stood before Pharaoh and he interpreted for him his dreams. In verse 47, we continue. He said, that is Joseph, you will sow 7 years continually. So whatever you hasada, that's a non-Arabic word, which is the word reap or harvest from Aramaic origin. So leave in its heads of grain, except a little of what you eat. Obviously, here we see the opposite interpretation to that which we will be reading in the Genesis account. Because here Joseph is asking them to eat a little and save a lot. Then after that will come 7 hard years, will consume what you have stored for them, except a little of what you will have stored. What a strange wording to tell the biblical account. And I'm amazed. This is, once again, the best of the stories of the Quran. Muhammad, once again, I repeat myself, ruined my favorite story in the Old Testament. In verse 49, we read, then will come after this a year in which people will have rain, and in it they will breast. Man, oh man, another huge error in the Quran. Obviously, Muhammad never lived a day in Egypt, and he does not know how the farmers farm their land in Egypt. We never farm our land in Egypt waiting on the rain, because if we wait on the rain, we will never have any grain in our field. Egyptians live by the Nile, and the water comes from the Nile to irrigate their land, not from rain at all. But continue in verse 50. And the king said, bring him to me. So when the messenger came to him, he said, return to your lord. So ask him what the woman meant who cut their hands. Surely my lord knows well their devices. Remember the women of the city who were invited to the banquet of Al-Aziz's wife, and each one of them had a knife. And when they saw that Joseph, they could not help themselves, because they said, we swear by Allah, this is not a human, this must be an angel. And they cut their hands with the knives which was given to them by Al-Aziz's wife. And then we discovered that not only Al-Aziz's wife demanded that Joseph will be involved with her sexually, but all the women of her banquet really wanted to be with Joseph sexually. And somehow Allah delivered him. Now Joseph is trying to prove his innocence to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. I personally believe deep in my heart that Muhammad was confused between Pharaoh and the man who bought him, who Muhammad named Al-Aziz instead of Potiphar. But continue with the fabricated story in the Quran. We'll read in verse 51, he said, and he here is actually Pharaoh himself. Somehow he sent the quick text message or an email to all the women of the city, and they all gathered in his castle. And here is what he said. What was your purpose when you sought to seduce Joseph? Man, oh man, it sounds like a joke. This is unbelievable. And Muslim people read it and believe it. And here is the answer of the women of the city. They said, Allah forbid. Once again, if this is a true story, these women would not have used the word Allah, because none of the Egyptians in Joseph's day believed in Allah, but they would have said, Pharaoh forbid, not Allah forbid, but Pharaoh forbid, we do not know any evil of him.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
The woman, which is the wife of Al-Aziz, said, "Now the truth hashasa." What is hashasa? It is a word without any meaning, but somehow Muslim scholars will tell you it means appeared. The truth appeared. Now we know the truth. I sought to seduce him, and he is surely the truthful. Don't forget that the Quran did not say he was truthful completely. Why? Because as much as she desired him, he also desired her according to the Quran, as we read in verse 24. But let's continue. In verse 52, we read that he might know that I have not cheated him in secret, and surely Allah does not guide the device of the betrayers. Now here Joseph speaking about Al-Aziz, his master, and he's telling everybody, I did not cheat him in secret. Wait a minute, who said that? When we go back to the wording of the Quran, we know that Al-Aziz found out when he discovered that the shirt of Joseph was cut from the back, not from the front, according to the witness of the little baby who spoke in his household, that Joseph did not cheat on him. It was his wife who wanted to have sexual relationship with Joseph. But the writer of the Quran somehow forgot what he wrote earlier, and now he is making up contradictory words. In verse 53, Joseph continued to speak, "And I do not declare myself innocent. Surely the self commands with the evil, except for those on whom my Lord has mercy. Surely my Lord is forgiven, merciful." In that statement, we see a confession that Joseph was not perfect. Why? Because Joseph said, "And surely every self are commands with the evil." That is including Joseph himself. And here we go, we see the response of the king in the end of the fabricated nonsensical story of Muhammad in the Quran. For in verse 54 we read, "And the king said, bring him to me, I will take him for myself. So when he had spoken with him, he said, surely today you are with us in a prominent position, secure." Once again, that fit with the story of Muhammad in the Quran, but that does not fit with the biblical account as we're about to see. In chapter 41 of the book of Genesis, for there we read, "Then it came to pass at the end of the 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river." That is verse 1, from which we learn more information than that what Muhammad mentioned in the Quran. First of all, the Quran said that the butler forgot Joseph for bid'a sinin, which means for some years. According to Muslim scholars, that is 3 to 9 years. When in reality, Joseph was remembered by the butler simply 2 years after the butler left the prison. And now we know that the dream of Pharaoh was by the river, which is the source of life in Egypt. Without it, Egyptians could not live. Muhammad did not mention that in the Quran. Suddenly there come out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then in verse 3 we read, behold, 7 other cows came out after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. Here we go. That is the first dream. I promise you, when you compare that to what we read earlier in the Quran, you see that huge difference. The dream of Pharaoh in the Quran does not make any sense, not only because it is missing information, but it is worded in a very unusual way. Let's move on to the second dream of Pharaoh. In verse 5, we'll read, he slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came out of one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Neither dream given in the Bible can be understood when you read them in the Quran. Why? Because Muhammad does not tell us any details about Pharaoh's dream. In verse 8, now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit, that is Pharaoh's spirit, was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Now in verse 9 we read, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my false this day when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, and he and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream, and it came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Obviously talking about the chief baker. Notice what we have done so far. We're simply reading the biblical account of Genesis chapter 41, and we can understand every sentence about all the details of the account. Not like in the case of the Quran, when you read it, you do not have a clue who is talking to who and what is happening. Then in verse 14 we read, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. What a huge difference. According to the Quran, the chief butler, we do not know who he is. Just Muhammad said the one who was saved is the one who went to the dungeon. He asked a permission to go to meet with Joseph, and he spoke with Joseph, and he got the interpretation, and he gave to the Pharaoh. But that's not the case. In the Bible, Pharaoh sent, and they brought Joseph. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he stood before Pharaoh. And it is very important to notice that Joseph in the prison did not complain at all. He did not say, I'm not going to meet with Pharaoh until we know the truth about my innocence concerning these women who cut their hands, because there was no women in the story of Joseph, and nobody cut any hands in the story of Joseph in the biblical account. This is what I call the material which Muhammad added to the Quran erroneously, which does not make any sense whatsoever. Continue in Genesis 41 in verse 15, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Beginning from verse 17 to verse 24, Pharaoh repeated his dreams to Joseph. Then in verse 25, we read, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. In verse 27, and the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. Then in verse 28 we read, this is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land, so the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Once again, I'm amazed. From reading the Bible, we can understand the entirety of the account of Joseph, not like in the case of the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.